to the show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this finds you well. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well in this mid-September of 2011. I'm going to be doing a market update today and going to be joined by Deb Seward in my office. We're going to talk a little bit about the current volatility in the market. Not that we have answers, but we do have some interesting points for you to ponder and consider. Remember, Financial Abundance sponsors It's Your Money, and It's Your Money is a weekly podcast that pulls back the curtain to expose the truth about money and investing. We believe you don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. And you know what? I say weekly with a little bit of pensiveness because I have not been doing it weekly. I've been doing it about monthly, and I have to say that that's due to the summer. It's been a wonderful summer. I've enjoyed the summer, spent more time with my family than I probably have in most summers. So as a result, something had to give, and this is one thing that did. So now that we're getting into our really kind of our active, really our busy time of the year, so to speak, with school starting in, here locally and being here in an academic community with Penn State, most of our business starts here and runs pretty hard into into the summer. So with that being said, we're going to bring you a market update today. I'm joined by Deb Seward in the office. Hey, Deb, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Paul?
Good. You may feel like you have to yell a little bit because my voice is loud. But anyway, we're going to do a market update today and talk a little bit about some of this craziness.
It has been crazy. A lot of ups and downs, large swings day to day. More than 100 points, it seems like, day in and day out. And you know what? More now than ever, I think our investors really need some guidance, Paul.
Yeah, and I think what's going on right now is just a lot of fear-mongering. You know, gold would not be, I don't know what it is today, $1,700 bucks an ounce if it wasn't for that. But we're not going to talk about gold today. I've done enough talking about gold today, except let me make this one point, just because it popped in my head. I was watching a commercial recently, and it was one of the gold commercials. I forget who it was, but it was one of the gold commercials. By the way, they're getting a lot more creative with those commercials, a lot more emotional-driven. You know, they're trying to really tap into that fear and stuff. And one of the things that I find interesting about these commercials and their whole rap, if you will, is that they talk about the reason that the gold is so important to buy and diversify with is because it is better than the dollar. That, in fact, it's the whole reason gold is going up is because the devaluing of the dollar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's amazing to me is what are they trading the gold for? The very dollars that they're telling you aren't any good. So it's kind of interesting, but points to ponder again.
Yeah, I think I've shared this with you. I had a friend out in LA who sort of is in the business like we are, and their advisor told them to pull $100,000 out of the stock market and put it in gold when gold was at its highest.
Absolutely ridiculous. At a point when the market right now, a lot of money's going into the market, more than you might expect, which we have some statistics we're going to share with you with inflows that are going into the market right now. It's pretty amazing. For those that are prudent and understand what's going on, have a little bit of insight as it relates to the science of investing, which is my whole shtick, if you will. I don't know where I picked up that shtick thing. But anyway, it must be an old vaudeville thing. I used to watch all the old black and white stuff when I was a kid. But anyway, not that I'm that old. Vaudeville, my goodness, when was that? That was a long time ago. Anyway, I digress. Back on track. Market update. September 15th, 2011. This is as of business close, the market update. We do this, mostly that's what you've been hearing from me this last year. The market update is designed to show people what the different index, or in plural, indices around the country, including the U.S., are doing. So they'd be different. Give a definition of an index, Deb.
Well, one that's most popular that we see on the news every day is the S&P 500. It is an index that takes the 500 best companies within our U.S. economy and measures how they're doing.
And they're predominantly large U.S. companies.
Sure.
So that would measure only large U.S.
Correct.
Now, if you went and looked at something like the Russell 2500 index, now that's a totally different index. What would that measure?
That's looking at small and the mid-cap segment of the market.
So now let me ask you something, Deb. If I'm seeing the S&P 500, which represents 500 predominantly large U.S. companies, right?
Right.
And if I'm seeing the Dow Index, which represents predominantly, what, 30?
30, 35 industries.
30, you know, so basically, when we're looking at those, what we're seeing is predominantly an indication of large U.S. companies only. Would that be accurate?
That is correct.
So wouldn't it be prudent if you don't know whether it's going to rain next month or it's going to sunshine predominantly next month, it would probably be prudent to own suntan lotion or sunscreen and umbrellas, right?
That is correct.
So whenever we look at the market update on TV, the nightly news, what are we really seeing? We are seeing basically how U.S. large is doing.
Yes. All the hype is based on the S&P 500 and the Dow. That's all you really predominantly see. NASDAQ a little bit, but that also is U.S.
And it's predominantly in the technology arena. I mean, it gets more into those obscure companies, okay? Well, so to speak. Okay,
yeah.
I don't want to get into a big definition thing here.
Yeah.
But I just want to make the point here that if we don't know whether the sun's going to shine or it's going to rain respectively from any given day to month, wouldn't it be prudent for us to not just own U.S. large, but to own U.S. small companies, U.S. growth, U.S. value, international large, international small, cash, bonds, T-bills? Would it not be prudent, if we don't know which asset class is going to be the winner or the loser this year, to own all the asset classes?
Agreed. That's proper diversification.
And any variation, any hype that we hear in the market, correct me if I'm wrong, Deb, this is an observation I've recently made. And that is that whenever I hear the hype of the news, it is always sector-related, not asset class-related. Can you describe the difference between an asset class and a sector to our listeners?
Yeah, a sector might be like a department stores, consumer staples.
Retail.
Energy.
Pharmaceuticals.
Right. It would segment those different sectors. Where an asset...
Energy, finance,
right.
Banking,
right.
Whatever.
So then an asset class
would be a group of similar type companies.
Right, whether it be large
small.
Grow, small, right.
Now, would not an asset class, let's say U.S. large,
right.
would that not encompass every sector?
Yes, it would.
So whenever we hear hype on the TV, like in this last couple of years, it's been credit hype. Ladies and gentlemen, when I say hype, I'm not implying that there's not some substantiation to the issue here.
Right.
I'm simply saying it's overblown in Paul's opinion. But when we start hearing about the propagation of the negative news,
that's it.
Let's put it that way. What has it been lately? Last couple of years, it's been credit, energy,
finance.
Okay, finance and energy.
Yeah,
so those are the two
biggest
sectors,
yeah.
Right? Those aren't asset classes.
No.
Those are sectors.
Right, so the asset classes would be a lot broader than that.
And so that's what's important, ladies and gentlemen. All the news that you hear related to daily news, I'm talking about short-term financial news, is sector bubble related.
Correct.
It's not prudently, academically looked at as saying, look, this is an entire asset class. We do not see bubbles in asset classes. Amen?
That's
correct. Do not see bubbles in asset classes. You can mark that down. You can etch that in stone. In fact, you can quote me on that moving forward if you would like. We do not see bubbles in asset classes. We see bubbles in sectors. So with that in mind, that's why I come in and tout like a crazy man an academic approach to investing through our weekly Clarity Coaching and our iTunes podcast, because we believe investing's not that difficult. You only need to know about 20 things. Hopefully you have an investor coach that understands the science of investing and not just the market hype. Deb, you were involved for 30 years with different brokerage firms. Did you ever go to a conference, a function, a symposium, a meeting that was not predominantly sales related?
No, it's all sales related. They just want you to sell their product, and they try to get you to understand how their product works and who's on the management team and the management style. They don't talk about owning the entire market or diversification.
Now, we're not knocking the industry, knocking that type of thing. You've got to own products. You've got to own investments if you're going to play in the market. Okay, come on. You know, that goes without saying. But it's important to understand the motivation of the rule makers, because the rule makers are the people creating the products, ladies and gentlemen.
And what I have also found is any time that we've had a bubble, it seems like the industry comes out with a new product to take care of that bubble.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, when I was at Merrill Lynch, it was the tech bubble. And now it's sort of the consumer credit bubble, you know, and now it's going to become the bond market bubble, and gold is going to burst here real soon as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know when it's going to burst, but it's been, they've been touting 10 years. Look, we've gotten growth in the market in the last 10 years. I mean, every asset class out there is respectable rates of return. So
right. All
this hype that you hear, a lot of it is, it's misinformation. Investment pornography, if I could be so brass and as bold, that's what I refer to it as. It's nothing short of titillating, emotion-driven marketing to get a reaction.
And to really contact their brokers to say, look, this is what the news is saying. What should I be doing? They believe that they shouldn't be sitting still by doing transactions. It's helping their returns. And that's all really, I believe, just like you mentioned earlier about the gold marketing, it's getting so good. That's emotional driven. And
it's getting good because they got more money to do it.
Right.
Okay. I mean, come on. You know, it's amazing. I'll tell you, now's the time I wouldn't be getting into gold.
No, it's too high.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. And we don't profess to ever know. And we encourage you to run away from anyone that does. But with that being said, I personally, at this point, I would sell every bit of the gold I had. I would sell every bit of the silver that I had. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, and we got on a gold conversation. I didn't want to go here. But when you get into a well-diversified portfolio, you're already going to own commodities. Gold and grains and sugars and corns
right.
and all that kind of stuff, okay? Pork bellies. Remember that from Trading
yes.
Places? Pork bellies. Okay. Market update, ladies and gentlemen. 9/15/11. Russell 2500 Index measures the performance of small to mid-sized U.S. companies. How is small U.S. doing, Deb?
Well, probably one of the better indexes at this point. It's a negative 5.82% year-to-date.
This is year-to-date. Now, one thing I want to make a note of, the first quarter of this year, we locked in our gains, didn't we, Deb?
Yeah, we rebalanced our portfolios and sold at the highs and purchased at the lows.
We did that again the second quarter, didn't we?
Yes, and really, this didn't start really dropping until August.
Right. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot speak until the end of...
Really, September.
As to whether or not this quarter is going to be up or down. But year to date right now, it's down. But see, ladies and gentlemen, it really doesn't mean year to date for those of you that have well-diversified portfolios. It means from the last quarter rebalancing to date.
It's for our clients.
Because we already locked in the gains.
That's right.
Okay. And you know what? People freak out about the market and say, oh, my God, my retirement's in there. And I understand that. Absolutely. This is the world that I live in. But you got to realize, ladies and gentlemen, if you're retiring 5 years from now, is your money supposed to only last 5 years?
No, you're not ready to check out then.
For probably 25 or 30 years.
Exactly.
So it's still a long-term endeavor. What would be the smarter conversation to have, if I may segue just for a moment, and without the sound like a commercial, is to get with advisors that really understand the concept of income for life planning and start to understand how to differentiate the income sources from the market so that you don't have
right.
this peace of mind issue as you get into retirement. There's no doubt that I'm a proponent of the market long term. There's nothing that'll touch it, period. End of that discussion. However, we have to temper the reality of what's best with the reality of the way people are emotionally driven.
That you've said it.
And understand that we need to find, this is good stuff, you need to find a balance between having money in the market and having money that's not subject to market volatility for your income sources.
Right.
Obviously, as you're going toward retirement, it's probably more prudent to keep most of that in the market. Mm-hmm. But people say, hey, I'm going to retire in 5 years, I should start going more conservative. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, only if you need the income at
okay.
that point.
If you'd like to learn more about this kind of stuff, go to our website, financialabundanceinc.com, or just give our office a call, and we can try to schedule a conference call with you or something. 814-867-5745. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you want to write that down. 814-867-5745. Once again, this is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, with Deb Seward from Financial Abundance. We're pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. And we're in our market update. Let's move on, Deb. We talked about small U.S. being down about 6 year-to-date. How is the Russell 2000, which measures small to very small U.S. companies?
Year-to-date, they're a negative 8.17%.
How about the Russell 1000 value, which measures large value? Now, value and growth companies, two different animals. Real simple, ladies and gentlemen. Growth company. Strong earnings, best dividends, best money when that company goes to get credit. A value company would be a company that would be It wouldn't be a bad company. We would call it unexcellent or distressed. We should expect a higher rate of return by investing in value companies.
With risk comes return.
This is true. Well, that's another conversation, yeah. But we'll leave that alone for now. Russell 1000 value. That's not to imply that more risk means more return.
No, but you would expect a given amount of premium for a little more risk.
That's correct. So Deb is absolutely accurate in that. I just didn't want to mislead some of you guys that are real factoids types. Okay. We want to keep it, we got to keep it where it's palatable for those people that don't understand the industry, right?
That's right.
Okay. 2000, Russell 2000 value. So the Russell 1000 measures large value. How's it doing?
Negative 5.15% year to date.
How are Russell 2000 value small companies? So large companies, value companies are down about 5.15. How are small value?
A negative 10.5% there year to date.
You know what's interesting is small predominantly wins. Small has outpaced large year after year after year when you look at it statistically. But
sometimes has the biggest swings there.
Yeah, it does have the biggest swings. How about the S&P 500, which most of you are probably familiar with because if you're watching any type of news.
That one's down about negative 3.86%, which is probably our better asset category at this time.
So really, when we look at it across the board, Deb, what we're seeing is 3 to 10% year to date, which means a lot to those of you that don't rebalance on a quarterly basis, because
right.
That means you are down.
That's significant.
Okay? Yeah, and for those of you that do rebalance, you're down too, but not down as much, okay?
Yes.
It's interesting. I had a client call me, Deb, last week. You know, we've only gotten about 3 phone calls this year as it relates to the market.
Not sure I've received any, yes.
We spent so much time on education, but the question was, I've noticed that the market's down about 13 or 15% at that point. How's my portfolio doing year to date?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, and it happened to be one of our balanced portfolios, and it was down about 6%. And I looked at mine, the aggressive, and it was down about 3%. And I said, how does that sound? He goes, that sounds pretty good. Okay.
Right.
So how are we doing internationally? I guess that's the next question, Deb. We've looked at the U.S. How are we doing internationally when we look at the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index, which predominantly measures, the more developed markets?
We're down 8.64% year to date.
How about emerging markets? This would be the Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index, which of course would measure those markets that are considered emerging markets like Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Mexico, Morocco, Thailand, just to name a few.
That's probably our worst category at negative 16.3.
And then the EFA, Morgan Stanley Capital International EFA, Europe, Australia, Far East.
Negative 14.05.
So at this point, ladies and gentlemen, across the board, the market is down. Now, it's interesting, on a personal side note, I just emailed my wife this morning and asked her, is there any accounts that we can scrounge some money out of to put in the market?
That
right
would be
now
the time.
Is what I'm doing. In fact, I started feeling antsy yesterday when we had a 300-point jump in the market. It was a big jump in the market, and I thought, doggone it, I got to get that money in. It's been on my list for a week, but that's me now. But I'm a long, long term, ladies and gentlemen. It's long term. I mean, I'm 47 years old. It's going to be another somewhere in the neighborhood of 30, 40 years, Lord willing. My money needs to last for
me.
And longer than that for my wife and family. So with that being said, the market update is not very rosy. It's not any rosier than last month. It certainly is not fun to come to you with market updates like this. But we have to realize 2 out of every 3 years is up. The market has a one-thirds bias. What I really want to discuss, and let me segue into this, Deb, just quickly. I don't want to spend just a few more minutes. Hang with this, ladies and gentlemen, is this article that I picked up on Business Wire today. This is Business Wire, September 15th. It was as of yesterday. I picked it up this morning. And it basically reports Schwab's monthly activity highlights. And what's interesting, it says here that the new assets brought to the company and new existing clients in August 2011 totaled $62 billion. So including a $56.1 billion inflow related to a mutual fund clearing services client. So what we're seeing here is basically, think about that, ladies and gentlemen, in the month of August, $62 billion dollars went into Schwab. Is that what I'm seeing there, Deb?
That's exactly what that says.
Now, their total client assets are $1.65 trillion. Now, Schwab's one of many large financial broker dealer type institutions. They're one that we happen to personally use for our custodial accounts and so on. But they're like Fidelity, and there's all kinds of them out there. The only point that I want to make is this, Deb. This is what I found interesting. And this really bothers me because this is a type of thing that inadvertently and unknowingly and unwittingly, most consumers are making a mistake and they're eroding their retirement balances by hyperactive trading.
And I think a lot of the, it happens to be with 401k plans. Participants have the right to go in there every day and do day trading.
It's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. Client daily average trades in August were up 57%, 35% in July. Ladies and gentlemen, that's ridiculous, that kind of turnover. That should not be happening. You should have a well-diversified portfolio that adheres to modern portfolio theory, the three-factor model, the efficient market hypothesis. Please go to our website and read this kind of stuff and our philosophy and understand. Start to get educated a little bit about how the market works. This, look, in very simple terms, your return in the market is, in very simple terms, your return in the market, ladies and gentlemen, is the market return minus the cost of investing.
Correct.
If you have more turnover, whether you're doing it, whether the representative that you're working with is doing it, whether the mutual fund manager that's managing the fund you own is doing it, it doesn't matter who's doing it.
Yeah, it adds up.
And who's paying for it?
The investor.
The investor, not the guy or gal who's gambling with your money. Did I say gambling? Did I say that out loud?
You did say that.
Not the guy or gal who is investing your dollars and looking at outlooks and technical departments. You know what's interesting? There's a large mutual fund institution here in this country. They're global, like a lot of the big outfits. They represent about $230 billion of assets under management, and they only have about 550 employees. The average brokerage investment firm out there, like the Fidelities and the Vanguards and the big monster firms out there, which are respectably big,
respectable companies,
not $1.6 trillion like Schwab, but certainly monsters, have tens of thousands of employees.
Thousands.
What are most of those employees, Deb? What are they?
Oh, they do research and they do trading. They make up investment committees.
Technical analysts.
Exactly.
They're analysts that are deciding how to gamble the money of the investors that have trusted.
They are trying to decide which, they're trying to have the crystal ball or inference that they have the crystal ball to see which company is going to be up and which is going to be down.
If you have a well-diversified portfolio, ladies and gentlemen, the proper response in almost every case is just to leave it alone.
Yes.
If you're close to retirement and you start to need money from the market, that's another set of conversations that need to take place. But for the vast majority of the American public, the best thing for you to do is have a well-diversified portfolio and then do nothing.
Yeah, sit and wait.
But rebalance it every quarter, or hopefully you have professional help, people that are helping you rebalance it. But the bottom line is all this hype is nothing but fear-mongering. It's not even greed-related this time.
No.
That was the bubble. It's always the greed on the bubble. It's fear-mongering with this kind of stuff.
It's emotional trading, and who the people that are making money is Wall Street.
And if I may, close out this segment or this podcast by being a voice of rational reasoning. Ladies and gentlemen, this is simply a blip, what we're dealing with, in the long-term investing scheme. When we look at companies right now, we're seeing good quarterly earnings. We're seeing cash reserves like crazy. We're seeing streamlined situations from 2008 that have companies predominantly streamlined. Now, there's losers and winners every day. I understand that. But what I'm saying, the market overall is it's pricing in the political mumbo-jumbo.
Right.
All that is priced in. All the news is figured in instantaneously in the price of goods and services and the market. And right now, there is no certainty for boards, business boards, for committees, for business owners, as it relates to our current political tax structure and deficit, as to relate to what kind of planning moves can we make moving forward. So a lot of companies are just sitting back.
Right, strapping in.
So there's no reason, in my opinion, for the market to be having this volatility outside of fear-mongering, period. Fear-mongering, that's it.
Yep.
Gold, $1,800 an ounce. Ladies and gentlemen, come on. Seriously. I mean, is there any reason? That's fiat money. What does that mean? It means it's worth nothing.
Yes.
It's fiat money. Mm-hmm. It's only, you know, it's only the perception of somebody. It's no different than tulips. Remember the tulip thing back in the, remember that? When was that? For those of you who don't understand
I don't remember when that was.
The history of finance, back in the 1800s, a lot of people lost a boatload of money on tulips. It was a big tulip bubble, you know. It's like a Ponzi scheme of sorts. Not really, but it was just perceived value, you know. Diamonds, another great example. Why are diamonds worth what they're worth? Because diamonds are a, whose best friend?
Girls.
What's a guy's best friend? The dog. Go figure this one out. That's a whole nother conversation I don't want to get into. But anyway, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. You probably tell I've had a couple cups of coffee this morning, huh, Deb?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And being joined by Deb Seward here at Financial Abundance. We hope this finds you well. We're going to start getting back on track. I promise you I will on a weekly basis. We've got all kinds of information that we want to share with you going into the fall and the winter. So stay tuned. You've been listening to It's Your Money, the financial podcast that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great day.